Good morning. You're listening to Melissa and Bree on Centennial College Radio News. And today we have some fun stuff planned for you, don't we, Melissa?
We sure do.
And first, we're going to start it off with Melissa giving us some entertainment news.
Thanks, Bree. Two Canadian authors have been shortlisted for the Orange Prize for Fiction. Heather O'Neill and Nancy Huston are competing against four other finalists. O'Neill has been nominated for her first novel, Lullabies for Little Criminals, and Huston's nomination is for her 11th novel, Fault Lines. The Orange Prize is worth $60,000. It originally began to promote women writers in the fiction category. The awards will take place June 4th in London, England. And Hollywood producers and the Screen Actors Guild have gathered to talk about new contracts. The Guild is talking about a 3-year deal that will affect both movies and primetime TV. Broadway performers have also started negotiations. Both sides are working hard to avoid another strike. And get ready, Bill Cosby fans. The 70-year-old comedian and actor is coming out with his first hip-hop album, and he says it isn't his last either. MCs Supernova Slam, Jace the Great, and Brother Haas all contributed songs to the album. Cosby says his music does not use profanity like most hip-hop. Instead, it focuses on values such as education and respect. The album, titled Cosby Narratives Volume 1, State of Emergency, comes out next month. And in other music, his beats are infectious and thousands love his music. The number one house DJ in the world is returning to Toronto. Fans of David Guetta reacted quickly to the news by snapping up tickets. Amanda Huynh reports.
And that was the sound of David Guetta's latest single, Baby When the Lights Go Out. Guetta touches down in Toronto 1 week before his performance at the Winter Music Conference in Miami. During his last visit here, the international house DJ caused a commotion at Century Room. This time, he can be found at Peter Gation's Circa. The event, called Fixation, is expected to draw nearly 1,000 people. Amir A., who didn't want his last name used, is a sales associate from Platy Record. He tells us about the overwhelming response from fans.
It's been amazing. I mean, like, David Guetta has had, like, tremendous success with his last album, let alone all the hit singles he's put out over the years. And he's got a huge fan base in Toronto. And
Guetta is one of nearly a dozen DJs scheduled to play at Fixation. Despite the hype, not everyone is going to see Guetta spin. University student and house music junkie Christos Georgakopoulos is disappointed he'll be missing the show, but not for the reasons you may think.
I'm actually more disappointed because I won't get to hear Pablo Ceballos' set that night either, and to be honest, I think he plays better music. It's more a Spanish-influenced tribal house. It's better than that trendy stuff Guetta will be playing. But people in TO are definitely into the whole trendy house scene, so I won't be surprised that this event will be rammed.
Promoters report 500 early bird tickets sold out in 2 days. But they say there's still a chance you can get yours at the door. Amanda Huynh, Centennial College Radio News.
Hi, so just after a short break, we're going to throw it back to Bree for a little rant on recycling bins.
I had the sweats. I was nauseous. I thought it was some kind of flu bug or something I ate. I'm only 38. Play golf whenever I can. I cut down on smoking, and I'm not that much overweight. Anyway, the chest pain, it was like someone was standing on my chest. I could hardly catch my breath. So my neighbor says I'm calling an ambulance. Stupid me, I'm still going, nah, 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 I'll be all right. These just gas pains. Only now the pain starts spreading to my shoulder and neck, then my arm. So finally I say, okay, okay, call the ambulance. I got to the hospital and they stopped the heart attack. I mean, as fast as it started with this new treatment that dissolves blood clots. Here's the real kicker. The treatment is so new, it's not available everywhere. Guess it was my lucky day.
And we're back with a look at recycling bins, folks. I gotta ask you two, we've got Tim in the studio now. Have you guys seen these new recycling bins yet? And they are hideous. The city of Toronto issued these bins to residents, starting with Scarborough in January. Solid Waste Management Services, what do they think? They think that it will help divert waste. However, they have spent millions manufacturing all of these new bins, as if that's not a waste of resources. Jeff Rathbone, he's the manager of the city's Solid Waste Management Services, and he says the bins will help divert our waste, and that before the program started, Toronto was only diverting about 42% of our waste. I recognize this is not a positive number, but I just can't see how having millions of new bins made can possibly help the situation. Needless to say, As I mentioned earlier, these bins are massive. I mean, they're so big that people can't fit them in their sheds or even beside their houses. When the city sent notices about the new bins, residents had a choice of size, but there was no small. Residents could choose medium, large, or extra large, and for those, which were many, that had no idea what was going on, what did they mail as their choice? They get the default size, which Rathbone says is the most popular, the large. And what's the cherry on top of the entire mess? The city is not going to pick up your old blue bins. You'll have to take care of those yourself. Speaking of city administration, between February 17th and 23rd, the TTC dramatically increased service on 47 of its bus and streetcar routes. But some critics believe this move won't have the impact transit users are hoping for. Drew Berner reports.
TTC riders have been hearing the sounds of buses more often over the past few weeks. That's because between February 17th and 23rd, Toronto's public transit welcomed its biggest service increase in years. The TTC has put more buses on nearly 50 of its busiest routes. The move is meant to shorten wait times for buses and make riding the Rocket more comfortable. TTC Chair Adam Giambroni explained the increase.
The existing system was over capacity. We did not have the adequate resources to provide service where it was required. What the service associations do is they take packed bus routes and they provide adequate service.
Local transit critic Ed Drass is a columnist for Metroland News and a regular TTC customer. He thinks there are more important things the TTC should be looking at to improve service.
It doesn't even get into the issue of how regular the service is. You can have bad crowding on one bus, and then if there's two buses right behind it and they're half empty, I mean, it's a separate issue to get service running as well as possible, as regularly as possible. That's another effort going on now, mostly pushed by outside concern.
It may be too soon to judge how well the service increase is working, but at this point, the TTC is glad to be able to make the commute more manageable, even if some think it could be doing a better job. Drew Berner, Centennial College Radio News.
And now let's throw it over to Tim for a look at today's news.
Thanks, Bree. In the weather, continuing sun with cloudy periods for the rest of today, a beautiful day, high near 18. And here's what's making news right now. The city of Belleville, about 200 kilometers west of Toronto, is bracing for spring floods today. Canada's top general, Rick Hillier, calls it quits, and the RCMP said raid Tory headquarters in Ottawa. And now to our top story. Rising groundwaters in the swollen Moira River are threatening flooding in Belleville and other parts of eastern Ontario. Water levels are already 3 meters higher than normal and are expected to crest today. Over 60 homes have already had to be sandbagged, and several have had to be evacuated. The city has been in a state of emergency since Friday. There's no rain in the forecast, but officials say the high water levels will be here a while. The search is on to replace Canada's top general, Rick Hillier, who stepped into the job just 3 years ago in 2005. He announced his resignation from the armed forces yesterday at Defence Headquarters in Ottawa. The outspoken Hillier was a staunch advocate of Canada's military involvement in Afghanistan. He says he's proud of his accomplishments, which include getting more planes and tanks for the armed forces. Hillier's career in the forces spanned over 30 years. He was appointed to the top job by former Prime Minister Paul Martin. Analysts say his replacement will likely be a serving general from the Canadian Army, just like Hillier was. Among the top contenders is Lieutenant General Andrew Leslie, the Army Chief, and Lieutenant General Walter Natinchuk, the Deputy Chief and Hillier's second in command. The RCMP executed a search warrant at Conservative Party headquarters in Ottawa yesterday, looking for evidence to support the Election Commissioner William Corbett's theory that dozens of Tory candidates in the last election improperly claimed advertising expenses. Prime Minister Harper and his Tories are not taking this lying down. They've launched a lawsuit against Corbett and Chief Electoral Officer Mark Mayrand for failing to reimburse those same expenses. Conservative insiders say the raid just shows that Elections Canada's case against the party is weak and that it was nothing more than an intimidation tactic and a PR stunt. But opposition leader Stéphane Dion says Harper and his cronies are muddying the waters. He said Canadians should be concerned that the government is not cooperating with the commissioner's investigation to the point where he had to call the police. Elections inspectors emerged from Tory digs with a dossier yesterday but wouldn't speak to the press. In local news, There are 40 selected teenagers from across the city trying to make their schools and communities better. Youth in Motion is a nonprofit organization located in Toronto. Their program is designed to help teenagers set goals, develop leadership potential, and introduce them to the work world, Gord Anderson reports.
Kerlani George is one student selected to attend this program. He is a great basketball player, but his leadership skills might be better. George knows that basketball may not work out, so he is thinking of his future.
I want to be a basketball player, but I also want to be educated as well and have a job, so just in case he doesn't work out.
Jennifer Bassett was the coordinator of special events and programs for Youth in Motion. She knows George, and she's very impressed with his personality and search for knowledge.
We had our student orientation 2 weeks ago, and he really, really stood out amongst the students in terms of just his sheer politeness. He seems really, really eager and just really excited to be part of the program and really want to learn.
Rob Galakowski is George's phys ed teacher. He nominated him for this program because he feels George has the potential to be something special.
What I'm hoping and what I'm hoping he will gain is those sort of leadership qualities and to gain some extra confidence in himself. And I hope he will become sort of aware how great he can be.
And George finds the other kids in the program make him focus on the right things.
Going there really motivates me because I see all the other kids and they have their life on track. They're really smart and intelligent.
George seems to have his life on track. Let's hope he follows his true gift and lives a full and successful life. This is Gord Anderson, Centennial College News.
And recapping our top story from today, the city of Belleville is bracing for spring floods today. For all of us here at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca, with Bree Walt and Melissa D'Souza, I'm Tim Burton. Have a great day.